Hi, welcome to Sacred Conversations with Vision Battlesword. This is an audio series created by me and by the Sacred Light spiritual community for our own benefit as well as for anyone else that might be interested to hear it. This represents a new kind of podcast or a new type of audio series that I call a community conversation. So I'll be talking with the Sacred Light spiritual community and we'll explore all types of topics from truth to philosophy, spirituality, consciousness, psychedelics, and many, many more. And the goal of this is just to explore reality, to explore truth, and to see what all of the different pieces and all the different perspectives are of reality that we can put together into an integration of an entirely new philosophy. So I hope you'll join me for this journey, and without further ado, here's our episode. Thanks.
I love those whiteboards. Oh my God. My friend, she's a teacher, and when she ordered them for her students, I'm like, I want that, because it reminded me of our experience with you. Tablet.
Yeah.
You call them tablets, and I'm like, kids, sit down and write it down. Writing exercise time.
Yeah.
I mean, I do make them write it down.
Good.
They will remember it. Yeah. Cause
well, that's like, just like what we were talking about.
Right.
With why did I start recording these conversations? For the same reason. But then I thought, well, it was actually part of I had an activation at the beginning of the year while I was training some of the new people.
Mm-hmm.
I was taking the activation myself, and that became one of my activation items on the board was I want to start a podcast. I'm going to activate it starting this week, I think is what I said, or next week.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to start putting out one podcast episode a week.
That's pretty ambitious for a manifester, you know?
Why do you say it's ambitious for a manifester?
We operate 20% of the time. I don't know if you figured out about yourself, like you got that surge of energy for 20% and then 80% you have to rest.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah, well, I think that sounds about right in the sense that I have about 4 ideas that never come to fruition for every one that does. In other words, like I'm constantly having, as a manifester, as you know, it's like I'm constantly having new ideas for like, I want to do this. But then only about 20% of them actually hit, meaning I actually do it. But this was one, it was on my activation board and I was like, I'm freaking doing it. And I started having this content, you know, these recordings, because I just started recording these conversations and saving them. And I was like, well, I've got a bunch in the can. I'm going to start producing them and learning how to edit and learning how to publish and just learning what's needed to have a podcast. And then it just became so much fun, but it also felt like just a really important part of what the community, like holding the community together and creating that sense of community among everybody. It felt like the podcast itself is kind of becoming like the glue, you know, because if people are actually listening to it and paying attention to it, then you get to hear what other people are talking about and get to, you know, get to know other people in the community through that way. And then I get to stay in touch with everybody as well. So,
and I think also the best part is that you as a manifester, you initiate a lot of things for people. So maybe having these conversations really trigger one way or another certain, you know, points for people to start whatever, right?
Oh yeah, and we're constantly having ideas of things that we want to do. But additionally, I think what's been really nourishing and interesting for me is just the philosophy that we're building over time. Like as one thing layers on another, and these ideas interact and intersect and integrate. You know, as one person talks about, you know, I have a conversation with someone about love, and then that influences the next conversation I have with someone about acceptance, and then both of those conversations pile into gratitude and so forth. So yeah, it's just, it's fun. It's become a thing that has its own momentum, and it's just a thing that I've really come to enjoy.
So do you see in the future, like you'll be attracting some sponsorships, or you're going to be having your own products, like, or is it just simply to have the community, like having a glue for everyone to come together? And
for this particular one, for Sacred Conversations, it feels important to me that it's value for value, because that's always been a really key part of the Sacred Light culture, mm-hmm. in my opinion, and like kind of like part of our core DNA, you know, for better or for worse, for good and for bad. I'm really invested in this idea of sacred reciprocity. So value for value.
Mm-hmm.
If people find value in something, then feel free to reflect that value and continue to help support whatever it is that you find valuable and what it is that we do. So the short answer is no, I don't intend to monetize mm-hmm. sacred conversations in any specific way. For me, it's just something that I do for my own enjoyment and for the value, to give back value to the community, which is important to me to continue to do that, to continue to give back value to the community. And as far as I'm concerned, the value that I receive is everyone's friendship and support and just continuing to be connected.
Yeah, you are the glue, gluing people together. Cool.
And, well, how are you feeling today, Anya?
Today I feel real good. Real good.
Nice.
Float tanks do the magic.
Yeah, you're in a float tank.
Yeah.
Of magic.
Coming off this weekend, yes.
Beautiful. I love it.
Yeah, it was a perfect cherry on the top.
Mm.
Have you ever done those?
Cherries?
No, float tanks.
Yes, I have.
Do you like them?
I loved it. I've only done it exactly one time,
mm-hmm.
but I thought it was amazing. And I'm inspired right now to want to do it again.
Did you do it sober or were you under something?
Sober. Yeah. But I mean, it is the medicine, right?
Right, right. But I know that some people, they might take some mushrooms or something before going in, and that's a whole another.
I can imagine that would just take everything to another level.
Yeah. You're like in the womb.
Yeah. I think by the time I did an hour float, I was gifted, like a gift certificate to a float spa. As part of something else I did a while ago. And I think by the end of the hour, for maybe the last 10 or 15 minutes, I really got there. You know what I mean? I got to the stage where, you know, my body disappeared and I was floating in the void of my own consciousness and everything like that, that experience that, you know, I think is what's characteristic of that. And it was great. I wanted to do it again right away. And then I never have.
Well, that's the thing, that if you manage to get in that space, that's amazing. And sometimes you're just there and you hear your own heartbeat in your ears, or you,
mm-hmm.
your breathing is driving you crazy.
Yeah.
Because you're like, I just want to dissolve completely, and it's not happening. But it's always it's amazing. I love coming out of it. And whoever came up with it is brilliant, man or woman. I appreciate that technology.
Mm-hmm. Who are you, Anya Bell?
You know, that's a loaded question, right?
Of course. That's why I ask it.
It's like I played that game of labels, right? And these labels change so much. But I guess the constant one is the love incarnate.
Mm.
Curious child playing with the universe. And it was very fun to play with ChatGPT before the weekend, asking everything that you know about me. What are the points that I might not know about myself? So it gives you like the whole list of like, you are this and you are that. And I'm like, oh, let's see. So it was very interesting to see how it pointed out you're like natural alchemist for healing. And I was like, huh, how do you know? You know me, huh? So it was very interesting because the questions that I ask it, I don't know, I play with ChatGPT a lot.
I was going to ask you, how does it know you? When you say you asked it the question based on everything you know about me, tell me something I don't know about myself, where is it getting its information from?
People still Google things and I use ChatGPT. So all information that I'm asking, all the questions, and you know, I play philosophical games with it too, and research, whatever I need to know, that's my go-to.
Oh, so it's essentially whatever the internet knows about you.
Right.
That's basically what you're querying.
Right. Plus, like how I build my questions, how the topics that I talk about, the help and assistance with writing that I'm getting ChatGPT involved in.
Does it remember all that stuff?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. It saves.
I didn't think it's supposed to do that.
Oh, surprise.
Well, I've never spoken to it. I mean, I probably have through other. I'm sure that there are other services that I use that are backended by ChatGPT, but I've never interacted with it directly. But that's fascinating. You believe that it has an actual memory of everyone that it speaks to?
It does.
Wow.
Yeah, because it pointed out other moments, like how I'm bridging different traditions and cultures and science and spirituality and philosophy and healing, and how I have very unique approach to all of that. Like, wow. If you ever feel bad about yourself, just ask ChatGPT to like tell you how good of a person you are. It will do that for you.
And was it right?
Yeah.
What it was, knew about you?
Yeah, it was pretty close.
Huh.
And at the same time, like, you kind of know it because it's just my childlike curiosity playing with it. And to have it summarize it like that was pretty entertaining.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, I'm still going to keep my distance. Sounds fun.
You know, I always say, I'm like, you think technology is spying on you, the universe is spying on you.
That's fair.
If they want to know, maybe someone will use that information for something good. So why not?
The way I sometimes talk about privacy, especially internet, online, technology-wise, I think you may know, I'm not sure if you do know about me, but that I did work in technology for about 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And in part, you know, I did some information security. And so what I like to say is, when people talk about privacy in that way, it's like, hey, look, you know, all the information's out there. It kind of really doesn't matter what you do or don't do. You know, you don't really have any privacy. I'm like, well, on the one hand, yeah, technically that's true. But on the other hand, there's a difference between taking your clothes off in the privacy of your bedroom with the shades pulled.
Right.
Versus in the middle of the street in broad daylight. Like,
that's how serial killers start, right?
Yeah. So like, sort of like keeping your data on your own private computer with a password is a little different than sharing it directly with ChatGPT. You know, it's kind of, those are different in degree in a certain way.
That's true. Yes. And you know, I do understand that I'm educating it too, right?
Yeah.
Because we are teaching.
We all are.
For free.
Yeah, for free is right. Yeah.
So
that's interesting.
Yeah. And I like playing, because you have to give it a character before you start, right? Mm-hmm. For example, like with all my healing questions, I always ask, like, you are an expert with 50 plus years of experience in traditional, non-traditional, you know, all kinds of medicines out there. These are the symptoms. These are the signs. These are whatever's. Give me the answer.
Mm.
Like, I use everything. Like, I load it up. Give me the best answer here.
Hmm. Yeah, I can see some wisdom in that. I think, well, I can see both sides of the issue.
Right.
And I'm curious to know what your thoughts are about balance.
Oh, here we go. The balance, right? Good one. It's a game. It truly is the game. And it's a skill that I personally would like to master in myself more, and also master how I can articulate it better with people who need it and who are asking for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're creatures, very emotional, with full spectrum of feelings and emotions, and they're all valuable. They're all important. So ignoring or avoiding one feeling or emotion over another one, or choosing one over another one, doesn't sound right. But staying balanced and accepting all of it and coming back to your center is a very important skill to me.
Yeah, I'm really glad you brought this topic up, because this theme comes up a lot in these sacred conversations. At least it tends to come up, I think, a lot from my side when I'm talking to people. And balance to me feels very important to me personally. It feels correct. It feels like there's something true about the idea of, it's not this or that, it's both, and it's all of these things taken together interacting, like the concept of polarity. You know, for example, I think a lot of times that we tend to view things as a binary, and that it can only be one thing or the other. And I oftentimes tend to bring these conversations back to, like, well, what if we could find a balance between these two extremes, or we could take both of these things, or all of these things collectively together? Can we see a more complete picture of reality that way? So that this topic is very present for me. And I'm curious to know, like, what is balance in your opinion?
It's a loaded question. What is balance? The simple answer would be operating this physical avatar at the max divine capacity, right? No limitations. Just imagine the creativity and the world we would live in if everyone was operating from a balanced state.
What does it mean to be in a balanced state, though?
Clarity, first of all, because you're not overriding the clarity by swinging emotions,
mm-hmm.
or raging emotions or feelings.
Yeah, you brought that up earlier. This idea of emotional balance seems to be pretty central to you in terms of your idea of what balance is and what it means to be balanced as a person.
Right, because being unbalanced, first of all, being in the healing world, it has destructive, like the damaging results of being unbalanced is just to the physical body is insane. Like I was telling you earlier, you have 90 seconds to experience any feelings or emotions that you have. Do not suppress them, but just keep in mind, if you linger a little longer, raging, steaming, or, you know, pouting or being depressed, your physical form will be compensating with change of hormones and everything will be changing and diseases are following all of that.
Tell me more about that. So you're saying that you think that there's a temporary period where we can be experiencing an emotion or a highly charged emotional state before our physiology starts to adapt to it. Where did you learn that?
School.
Okay.
Yeah, I studied anatomy and physiology, and let's say someone is angry or scared, adrenaline rushes through your blood, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then there is a waterfall of reactions, biochemical processes that are just following, and then every single cell will be compensating, and there is a whole parade of things that are taking place. So usually, at least that's according to some researchers, 90 seconds you have your body still compensating and like sorting everything out, being capable to bring it back to balance, to normal state easier, versus if you are riding that wave for hours, days, weeks, the results are just going to be, they'll be visible. Like even your energetic field will be contracted versus you open and you do want to go and explore and have fun and socialize versus you just want to hide out or you want to play hot potato and throw that rage or anger at somebody else.
So what can you do within those 90 seconds? Is there something that you
I personally like to write it out.
Mm.
I mean, and I know that I might have looked like a crazy person at some point, but if the trigger was activated, I would find whatever little piece of paper and I will write it out and throw it away. What I discovered that talk therapy doesn't really do the trick. Just rehashing the same story over and over and over again doesn't transmute it.
Mm-hmm.
But there is this incredible sorcery available to all of us, a piece of paper and a pen in your hand, writing it all out of your head, and then you can move on to the next step.
Mm.
And that's been one of the best tools. And obviously, if you don't have the stuff under, you know, that you can catch, use your phone or, of course, take a deep breath. But sometimes when you're so overwhelmed, you cannot even think straight to even take a deep breath.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, what's the goal? What are we trying to accomplish if we notice that emotional flooding coming in? And then we, you know, we may have the presence of mind at least to remember it's like, all right, I got about a minute and a half before physiological changes start to happen. What are we trying to do? Are we trying to downregulate our nervous system to flush those hormones out of our body as quick as possible or just prevent them from getting re-triggered so that we sit and be saturated in them?
So you start with acknowledging, right?
Yeah.
You acknowledge like, okay, this is what's going on. This is what's happening. And you try to identify it. What is it? And sometimes it's very easy. Like, am I hungry? Am I thirsty? Am I cold? Am I hot? ABCs, you know, like coming from EMS background, you start with ABCs, airway, breathing, circulation.
Mm.
So same here. hungry, thirsty, bathroom, cold, hot, what is it? Am I uncomfortable? So acknowledging first, identifying what are you really dealing with? Because sometimes it's really to take a sip of water. That's all you need, or a snack. It changes the whole, you know, the whole game. And yeah, and allowing yourself to feel it, don't shove it down, you know, somewhere in the dark closet to ignore it, to avoid it, or trying to run away from it. That's probably the worst thing that you can do for yourself, to run away from it, right? I see it a lot, actually, with participants who just do not want to face it.
Well, that's one of the classic physiological reflex strategies.
Right, fight or flight.
And then also, I've recently learned there could be four strategies. Fight, flight, freeze, which you probably have heard of. And then a new one that I've only just become aware of, which is called fold.
Fold, yeah.
Meaning just complete collapse.
Oh, yeah.
Give up. Freeze isn't exactly giving up. It's more of another survival strategy, you know, where maybe the predator won't see me.
Right.
But fold is like...
Play dead.
I'm actually dead, yeah. I'm actually choosing to just resign myself to my fate.
That's true. Working in traditional medical field for almost a decade, you see it all, especially in emergencies. People do it all. So you're right.
But what you seem to be suggesting is that another strategy that we could employ if we notice ourselves becoming emotionally flooded is to ask ourselves, what do I need?
Right.
In this moment right now, what need is not getting met?
And maybe it, to some people, asking what do I need might not even do it, but like even asking, Anya, what do you need? Not what do I need, but Anya, what do you need? As if somebody else is asking you that, right?
Yeah.
Like you are that parent for yourself.
I see.
Or caregiver for yourself, asking what. Because a lot of times when I'm like space cadetting and then bumping into something, it's like, Anya, where are you? Like,
yeah.
Am I in the La La Land? Am I in the past? Am I in the future? Why am I not here? That to the point where I'm like bumping into furniture or burning my hand. So asking myself a question like, Anya, where are you? Brings me back to the center.
That's an interesting technique. And I can see the brilliance in that and the wisdom in that because, well, I've got quite a few different questions about it actually, but at least in this moment, I can see how disidentifying with the triggered part could be helpful to at least to regain control of your own experience, let's just say. But recognizing that the point that you just made about parenting yourself is probably very realistic. If we take the model, there's a four brain model of these four characters that I've learned about in a book called Whole Brain Living by Jill Bolte Taylor, where we've got these four characters that are the upper left, lower left, and upper right and lower right quadrants of our brain. So the upper brain is the cortex, cortical, you know, what you might call the higher functioning, the analytical. Then the lower brain is the survival mind. It's typically non-language based. It's emotional. It's reflexive. It's those earlier parts of our developmental process of evolution that are still, of course, present with us, that have just been built on top of. But if we're in that emotionally flooded state, many times we could be in what's called a character two. The character two is patterns and programs that usually form during childhood. So we may be, and that's the lower left, by the way, the lower left brain, which is concerned with the past and the future. So it's noticing something that looks like something that's happened to us before, or at least that reminds us of something that's happened to us before, and then making a prediction about the future of, well, if this happened before, then this will happen again, or something like this will happen again. But it's a child, usually a child-aged state. And so what you could be doing when you say, when you're disidentifying from what do I need in this moment right now to what do you need? Vision, what do you need in this moment right now? Maybe activating a different character.
Right.
Like let's say maybe character one, a more adult formed part to help that more child-aged part that maybe doesn't even have the tools to like get right. in touch with what they need right. to like guide them through that process.
You know who's really good at this game?
Who?
Glad.
Yeah.
I love him.
Mm-hmm.
He was the one helping me to identify the characters.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, him and I played this game. Love it.
So here's my question for you. When you are saying to yourself, Anya, what do you need right now? Who is I?
Oh.
Who is speaking?
It's always the question. Who's talking?
Yeah.
My favorite, because there are so many characters.
Right.
Yeah.
Is there a specific character that takes charge in those moments for yes. you? Or is it?
It's the wise one.
Mm-hmm.
Some people call it the higher self.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like the higher, lower, that kind of labeling. So
I think I get what you mean.
Wise one kind of resonates a little more.
Is it like your true self or your, some people say capital S self?
Like oversoul, you know, the divine self. All
I think
of
that's
it.
How some people say it.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that who it feels like for you?
Yeah, yeah. Because it's like that, I don't know, maybe because I've done so many plant medicines, I know that voice so well now
mm-hmm.
that it comes with the same intonation and tone and how it talks, right? Versus the one who's frantic
mm-hmm.
or cranky or, you know, mm-hmm. triggered.
Mm-hmm.
It's guys, it sounds like you're crazy when it's all happening, because like, who's talking, how many voices are in my head, and am I losing it? But at the end of the day, yeah, who's talking? Is it the shit talker? Is it the nice one? Is it the critical one? Is it the judge, the defense attorney? Like, was the evidence, we have witnesses, what's going on?
That's what I'm often curious about when I'm talking to people, either could be in a philosophical conversation like the one we're having now, or could be in a facilitation, you know, in a game or something like that. But I'm often curious, like, because people I notice use this word I
mm-hmm.
in many different ways, like sometimes even just within a span of a few sentences. It's like I da 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 da, and I da 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 da. And then I'll you know, I often want to ask people, like, who is I right now? Who am I talking to at this
right,
moment?
Right. Which one of you?
Yeah. Well, what does this have to do with balance? Being able to come into that kind of harmony with oneself in a highly charged emotional situation. What does that mean to you in relationship to balance and becoming balanced?
The visual that I just got was literally, let's say you have a team with all kinds of different characters and team players, and if team is on the same page, they are accomplishing and they're building and they're winning, whatever the case might be, right? But if you have parts that are all over the place,
mm.
you know, one demanding the attention more, the other one is throwing a tantrum, someone is crying, someone is walking away, the team is not accomplishing anything, mm-hmm. right? So balance is literally to keep all of it going in the right direction, or going in the same direction, at least. I don't know, maybe the same direction is more appropriate term.
Yeah. Okay. So balance, at least in part, has something to do with all of your parts having the capability to work together.
Yeah. Getting them on the same page. Yeah. Getting them on the same
page. Maybe being mindful of if a specific part or emotion or reaction or response tends to be overdeveloped, or tends to be have undue influence in terms of the way things are going.
Still in a spotlight.
Yeah. Well, coming back to that idea that one of the first things that you mentioned about, you know, I said, well, what does balance mean to you? And you talked a lot about emotional balance. Like, I don't know, do you want to expand on that a little bit more, just in terms of what does having emotional balance in one's life look like, in your opinion?
Combining the physical skills that you have with divine wisdom that comes through, to your ability to tap into different realms and then bring whatever information comes through, and then actually building something with it in the physical form, that's a perfect balance of emotional balance and physical balance, and the balance between divine and physical for manifesting whatever it is in the 3D.
Yeah, I noticed this theme comes up pretty, or has come up a few times, at least in these sacred conversations, the idea of achieving balance or harmony or congruence between what happens in the material world with what we may say happens in the spiritual world.
Mm-hmm.
And that it seems sometimes, I think, it seems that we feel a tension between those two things. Like as if there's a trade-off, right? As if we can't have both at the same time, or rather it's a zero sum. The more energy we put into one side of the equation, the less we may have experience in the other. Do you notice that too? At least in the way that people talk about it, I mean. Like as in, I want to pursue a spiritual life, mm-hmm, and that means mm-hmm. I should give up my material pleasures, or at least material, I don't want to necessarily say abundance, but mm-hmm. yeah, perhaps even.
Right. 'Cause the example that came to my mind was directly related to you. How after activation, pulling out all those crazy ideas on the whiteboard and then realizing, how am I going to accomplish it? Like, how am I going to get there? And the gap that's between your now and the dream life that you're manifesting is always such a tricky place to be at, right? So, yeah, it's like giving yourself a grace, understanding that it will play out in the perfect way because you're tapped into the future and you're witnessing the past being left behind and staying balanced, knowing that you're going there, and not to throw a tantrum like, that's not mm-hmm. how I saw it in my mind. Like, mm-hmm. why my reality is not, mm-hmm. you know, reflecting this. Oh, that's such a game. I don't know, but I don't know if a lot of people told you, like, if they experience it, the dip that, like, in that gap that, you know, follows the activation with you before you hit that dream life, like how difficult and challenging that gap can be.
Mm. Sometimes, but not frequently. Yeah, not often.
Staying in that frequency and then managing to, as again, to put all the parts together to stay cohesive.
Mm-hmm.
That's the balance game right there.
I think we improved things a lot with the integration program.
Yeah.
That really took off a little bit later in 2023, mm-hmm. I think is when the integration program really started to hit its stride.
Right.
And it really, like, I feel like it was really, really dialed in for the last 12 months or so. And I think that helped a lot. I think that helped people to bridge that gap, especially in those first few weeks, which, as we both know, is so, so important.
Right.
It certainly, yeah. I think it can happen, certainly did happen for some people. I think there's other people who didn't have that experience, who really felt like they stepped kind of straight into a version of something that felt like their dream.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really one of the most important things, is when we do this kind of manifestation game or play, I should say, the thing about placing your order with the universe is that sometimes you do actually get exactly what you ordered, but you don't necessarily know how or when it's going to show up. And so, yeah, there's an element of patience. I think this is another aspect of balance that we're touching on, is balancing my current state experience of reality with that future state or that dream state, maybe is actually a better way to call it, and bringing those into harmony in the sense of, okay, I don't yet notice or see present in my material frame all necessarily of the things that I may have visualized or put up on my whiteboard. And yet there is still a sense in which my dream is alive today.
Mm-hmm.
There is still a sense in which I am living in that dream state. And actually, that's a part of the trick. That's a part of the magic trick of how it all does come true and manifest.
And I think it's important to mention also knowing your human design in this regard. Mm-hmm. Are you specific or non-specific, manifestor or whatever your design is?
What does that mean, specific or non-specific?
So you and I are both manifestors, right?
Yeah.
So for us in particular, or any other 100% manifestors, we have to be very mindful of our language.
Yeah.
For example, entertaining good or bad is not an option.
Mm.
because you will get something right smack in the middle. So we have to be mindful of entertaining the idea of, is it going to be good or better? You know, you kind of opening the door for the possibility of being pleasantly surprised versus good or bad.
Mm-hmm.
But what I've discovered with human design, all other types, they also are capable of manifesting, and some are non-specific manifestors and some are specific. For example, non-specific manifestors like I am, I just need to say, like, I want to live in California. Where? How I'm going to get there? I don't need to know any of the details. I just point the finger. That feels good. I'm there. Done. Some people, for specific manifestors, they have to have the full outline. Like, your organizational skill set will be very helpful here to help them organize step by step. This is what's going to happen. This is how house is going to look like. What color door, bedroom, all of those details need to be outlined, because if you skip any little detail, you will be surprised.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, yeah, the big part of my balance was understanding my human design specifically, because I was burning out before, right? Hustle culture, work, work, work. Always work, always produce, and that's just not how I operate. And coming into agreement with that, trying not to identify too much with it, but at the same time understanding that this is how I work, oh God, that made so much. My life is so much easier now because of it. Because you don't question yourself anymore. And you don't try to prove people something that you shouldn't. And you're not burning out. That's a big one, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you stay in balance, you're not burning out. You're not running on extremes or then running on empty fuel.
I must be a specific manifester.
We can look it up.
Oh, really? It's actually part of the human design chart?
Yeah.
I've never noticed that part before.
I can. It's in my phone. I can look it up.
Where does that show up in the...
It's when you...
You want to actually take a break and do it?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll pull mine up too. Okay, say that again.
Your digestion is direct light, so you need to eat during the daytime and make decisions during the daytime.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Your strongest sense is outer vision.
Of course.
Right. Making life more beautiful.
That's
all. Yeah, you are specific, and then anger, peace, informing, challenge solver, emotional authority.
Human design is spooky. You know, like, I don't understand how it works. It's like, okay, give it your birth date, your place of birth, your time of birth. I mean, it's based on the same data as astrology.
Plus
and yet,
teaching.
And but even that, it's all based on, I mean, it's based on your time and your place of birth.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all just based on celestial configuration. And yet it's strangely accurate. It's really hard for me to understand how it works.
It's quite the information. It took me a while to dissect it and fully understand myself, at least in that regard. Yeah, it's funny, right? How it reads our spacesuit Merkaba kind of blueprint information like that, just based off that information.
But I could have told you without human design that I'm a specific manifester, just because of the way, and you can see it all through the sacred light process and how it works. It's all about getting very specific. It's about clarity. And that's certainly how I've seen it happen, or how it tends to show up for me. There's a story that I've told one time, and I find myself annoyed with podcasts and podcast hosts who repeat the same stories over and over again. But I have told this story once before, so I think I'm okay with telling it again, because I'm sure that you haven't heard it. And the story is, I was on a road trip with a friend of mine named Jackson, and we were going to a festival, and I wanted to get some LED lights, a string of LED lights to decorate our camp with. I didn't have any. We stopped at a Walmart to get some. We went to the aisle, the correct section in the Walmart where these lights should be. It was the lighting section. And looking around, they just weren't there. Even though I felt certain that Walmart, like a big Walmart like this, should have what I was looking for. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, colorful battery operated LED string lights should be there in this section. Couldn't find it. We're standing around for maybe 5 or 10 minutes, like looking high, looking low, looking left, looking right, we're looking everywhere, can't find it. And finally, Jackson stopped me and stopped us in the aisle and said, okay, look, let's just focus. Take a few deep breaths, did like a little micro meditation. And he's like, all right, now describe to me exactly what you're looking for. What is it precisely? And I described it. I was like, it's a 10-foot string of Edison bulb, rainbow colored LED lights with a battery pack. It's got a switch. It's USB charged. I described it to him explicitly, specifically, precisely what I was looking for. He said, okay, let's look again. We turned back to the shelf and it was right there.
Yeah, manifested.
Directly in front of our face. It's like, okay, I know we looked here before. I know we've looked here 5 times. Yeah. It just seems to me that that's one way that it works, or that's one way that it can work. And what's really going on there? You know, are we just clearing our filters? You know, is it like clearing the dust off your glasses and like all of a sudden you can see what was there all along, but before it was obscured with your own limiting beliefs, or you just didn't know exactly what you were looking for? Is it the blue car effect? I don't know. Or did we really actually create LEDs out of thin air? I really don't know. But that makes sense, the specific manifestor thing. That's definitely how I work.
I would hate that.
How so?
You asking me to figure out all the details, knowing how much more magic there is out there and things that I've never witnessed before, surprise me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I love this game. Like, thank God I'm non-specific.
Mm-hmm.
Good or better. Surprise me. How much better can it get? Or how can it get better than this? These are the games.
We have a kind of a natural balance, you and I.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, feels like the world benefits from having both of our types.
Of course. Because to some people, I look like a shit show. Because they're like, you have no plan? How are you going to pull this off? And I'm like, guys, I just have to be there. Mm-hmm. And all the puzzle pieces will come together. That's just always how it works.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I came to this country with like $200 in my pocket, not even knowing where I'm going. Who am I going to meet? I just showed up and I'm like, well, here I am. And they're like, who are you? I'm like, what do you mean? You know, it's the, I guess, trusting. Trust is the big one, right?
Mm-hmm.
To trust yourself, to trust the universe, and trust that everything will play out. And it was actually very interesting to note how when I first moved to US, I trusted myself so much. And then I lived here for 20 years and got beat up with so many different life experiences that the trust started dissipating. And boy, was that a bad habit to have, not to trust myself.
Yeah, I've done a dance with that recently myself. It's rough.
We're not allowed to play that game. Manifestors are not allowed to go there. Like, it's deadly. Because you are, like, we were talking about snapping out of whatever funk you're in for 90 seconds. Manifesting the shit show around you, if you're in a bad mood, is even worse. Because then the snowball effect of it is going to be just so grandiose that you're like, wow, I should have snapped out of it earlier.
How did you rebuild your trust when you started to lose it?
Oh, God. Started off with what's called cookie jar method.
What's that?
Have you heard that?
No.
So you sit down and you write down all the accomplishments you ever achieved just to remind yourself that you've done it. And sit down. And I was 13 when my aunt told me that every year, either on your birthday or New Year's, just make a list of wishes, whatever you want to have, accomplish, achieve, and come back to it in a year, but write it down. And ever since I was 13 years old, I would come back in a year to take a look, and 98% of that stuff is done. So yeah, showing yourself that, of course, you had doubts about this. You didn't know how you're going to manifest it, accomplish it, achieve it, get it, you know, get to it. And then it feels good to sit back and take a look, like take it all in, like I've done this before, so I can do it again. And this is where the game of parts come in handy, right? You have the critic and the judge just destroying you, like, oh, you messed up here. You know, you've done this and that, and look, look where you at. And the other version, I have to be like, y'all need to sit down. Like, you know, like the authority has to step in and say like, shut up, all of you, just take a seat.
You've definitely got a very like a committee process going on up there, don't
oh,
you?
Oh, listen, it's a courthouse. I have Judge Anya. Then I have defense team with all the evidence and all the, you know, witnesses. Then you have the prosecution with all the evidence and witnesses. I mean, it's a whole courthouse.
There's a sense of balance in that, though.
Because you have to give a spotlight for everyone to be heard and state the case. Otherwise, if you suppress one, resentment, health issues, hearing them out, time and space to talk. And I love doing that while I'm journaling. Paper doesn't judge. So write it all out, take a look, and then move on.
Interesting. Do you feel that you're putting yourself on trial? Or what is
all
on
the
trial?
Time?
Yeah.
Jeez. Yeah. Judge Anya had a run for a while. Yeah. She had a spotlight for a hot minute. And the critic, oh, those were two besties. Those two bitches.
How did you balance that out? Or what did you balance that out with?
Plant medicine.
Oh, well, that'll do it.
Yeah, right. Right. Plant medicine, a lot of journaling, a lot of writing, a lot of asking questions.
Okay. I see that that's a process that helped you to achieve balance. But like, what offset the judge and the critic? Like, what brought balance to your inner courthouse, so to speak?
Well, first of all, acknowledging that there is more sides to that story, right? And then again, the game.
So you got more characters now. You've got a prosecutor.
Oh, there are so many
defender,
of them, right? Oh, you do. Okay. You have sister Anya, daughter Anya, baby Anya, like you name it. Uh-huh. Creative one, sassy one. I mean,
are these like witnesses? Do they give testimony?
I guess, you know, it's not even the courthouse. It's like the whole castle.
Oh.
It was the court.
Yeah.
And the drama.
Got it. More like,
it's a Game of Thrones, guys. Court. Yeah. This is Game of Thrones for real. Like, I witnessed the birth of my dragon in Peru for a reason. Yeah. You have all kinds of characters. And I know, like, it sounds crazy. A lot of people are like, they're like, you know, you sound schizophrenic. I'm like, oh, guys, like, if you only knew that it does sound crazy when you talk to people about these parts of yourself that are like having an argument and you have to hash it out in your own head, you know, because otherwise some people judge it.
Call me crazy, but it sounds normal to me.
Right.
But or rather, I think it sounds like the place that most people get to once they have a certain level of self-awareness.
Right. I guess that's the one, right? Being aware.
Yeah.
Of who's talking.
Well, what character offsets or balances out the critic for you?
The nurturing and the loving one. So it's like the most nurturing, loving parent that anyone could ask for.
Mm-hmm.
The supportive cheerleader that anyone can have. Because this is exactly where the courtroom comes in handy, because you have one team stating the case, and then you have the opposite team stating the case with all of the evidence and witnesses. So if I see one, let's hear the other one too, or let's bring another one in. Let's bring the character in and see what they got to say.
Now, what about the judge? Is the judge impartial, or does the judge have a default position?
Now the judge is actually just sitting there watching it all. But before, the judge was very strict.
Yeah, guilty until proven innocent.
Yeah, putting people to jail. Uh-huh. Blocked. Never talking to you again, kind of stuff, you know. So yeah, it's very interesting.
Do you still find that you have to take things to court frequently, in the sense of charges are brought and you have to defend yourself? You have to bring the loving, compassionate parent or any of those other defender parts kind of online to present their case and their evidence to the judge?
You know, when you play this game long enough, it's not as extreme and it doesn't take as long.
Yeah.
So the awareness of catching what is really going on, is this a trigger? Is this the memory? Is this the, in some cases, bleed through from other timelines? Who knows? Something. Is this me? Is this collective? What's going on here?
Right.
Right? Because sometimes it's not even my shit. You know, asking questions is a good game, but asking the right questions. I always tell people, like, if you're asking why me, that's a bad game. For example, like, I can play all kinds of games, but at the end of the court session, if I could find at least one good thing about this situation, if I can exit that little game with anything positive and gratitude, what is that? At least I'm on my way out in a proper direction.
Mm-hmm. Is the purpose of the courtroom exercise to bring the two sides into balance? Or is the purpose to have one side win out against the other?
I guess it depends on the situation, right?
Okay.
Because if you have one pulling all the attention and then neglecting the other parts that are literally manifesting in the physical form as a neglect to your physical health or your finances or your work or your relationships, you've got to take a look. Trying to stay balanced and bring harmony to yourself first and foremost and amplifies everything around you to be in the same state.
Yeah, this is one of those cases where I find the concept of balance, or rather, I notice that I have a strong value in balance in terms of all of the different perspectives that we could take on a given situation. Where that's, this is one of those cases where I noticed sometimes there can be like a polarity or a binary situation that people sometimes present, where it's sort of like the thesis, antithesis, and then synthesis dialectic, where first people are maybe in a state where they are harsh and judgmental and critical of themselves, and then that creates a lot of suffering in people's lives. Sometimes people could go through their whole life in that state.
Mm-hmm.
But then there can be an overreaction, or maybe just like an equal and opposite reaction 180 degrees from that, which is that, like, oh, well, we should always be loving and accepting, and everyone's always worthy, and everyone's always valid, and everyone's always right, like true for them, like whatever's true for me is true,
right?
Unambiguously or unconditionally. And I get that there's a super powerful form of healing and even wisdom in that mindset, and that there can be a place for that, and that can be needed sometimes to just, like you said, that unconditionally loving, the most caring, unconditionally accepting, like, part of yourself that you can imagine. There can be a real place and a real need for that sometimes. But I'm also a little bit suspicious of kind of whitewashing or bypassing, maybe is a better word,
yeah.
Spiritual bypassing.
Big one.
Of like reality sometimes.
Right, right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
It's like, oh, it's all good. I'm all good.
Right,
I'm perfect.
Right.
I'm worthy. I'm valid. It's, yes, you are in the cosmic sense. And also, have you looked at this part of your life recently? You know,
50-50.
Is it possible,
right,
that judge and that critic actually have a place in a normal, healthy, balanced person, normal, healthy, balanced psyche, psychology, where they have real important things to say or to show you or to surface about what might be good for you or things related to survival,
right, right,
health and all of that sort of stuff. So, like, for me, that's what true balance looks like to me, is where all of those different parts and perspectives have a seat at the table and can be taken seriously. But then where that judge component at least is less judgmental, or less provides less judgment and more discernment among these perspectives.
It's more like an observer.
Yeah.
Yeah, the judge is more of an observer, just watches the whole court playing out.
But also, I think there's an element of decision that's needed sometimes, right?
Well, yes, yes, of course. You have to be able to finally decide and execute the move. Like, what are you doing with all of this, with this energy?
Mm-hmm.
What's the solution here?
Or what do I think about this? How do I feel about this? But I think that that's where I wanted to ask you a question earlier. I'll just ask it to you now. Like, what do you think about the difference between judgment and discernment?
Well, the, you know, coming from a foreigner, judgment sounds like it feels like it have very heavy weight to it, right? Like it's final, like that's it. The it's execution, black or white. Discernment is more like, I see you, I acknowledge you, I recognize that, you know, shady part. So I will be making my next move and next decision based off what was presented, you know, energy to it.
Yeah, I like that you used the word shade, because I think that makes sense. It's, to me, it's like I can differentiate between this shade and that shade. Is more like discernment. And then there might even be an element of choice involved. It's like, I think I prefer this instead of this. Whereas with judgment, I think oftentimes we bring a value or a moral component to it, where it often judgment includes a word such as good or bad or some synonym of those words.
Like, who am I to judge?
Well, what else is interesting to you about balance?
It's just, it's amazing if you're balanced, how much creative energy comes out through divinity and creativity and just what manifests out of it in a balanced state. When being is in a balanced state, it's just so magical. It brings a good reminder, because we're so dense, right? Like physical form and bills and jobs and houses and, you know, all of that. Sometimes we forget about how truly magical we are.
How do you balance spirituality and materialism?
By allowing myself to experience and what needs to experience, playing with whatever I want to play with, experiment, allowing myself to make mistakes. Creative process is a messy process, you know? And a lot of times by making the mistakes, you're discovering a lot of new fun things to play with, right? So that's where, you know, good or better served me so well. Just opening the door for possibilities that I could not even like think of.
Do you think there's any trade-off between spirituality and materialism?
The trade-off is, we had this conversation yesterday with my friend. It's like, you came here to be in the physical form, right? So being in the physical form, experiencing everything, was the sensations that we have is beautiful. And if you're too up and out on a regular daily basis, just space cadetting through this life, in a way it's like you're abandoning this body, and this body is literally your best friend. Like, you take this best friend on adventures every day, eating yummy food, getting the sunshine, exercise, you know, all of it. So yeah, abandoning one for another is just not a good game. Because I get it. Like, it sucks to be in the physical form sometimes. Sometimes it's too painful. It's too uncomfortable. It's too brutal. And the world seems to be very just insane, to say the least. And it looks like everything is just going down to shit. Just reminding yourself that we gotta be, you know, yin-yang, 50-50. Without this physical form, then what's out there? It's a different experience. So you're here, do your best to be here.
Does that feel right to you that it's a 50-50? Like, what does that even mean, 50-50? Does that mean the amount of energy that we invest in spiritual life versus material life? Or is it the amount of attention that we place there? Or is it the kind of experience that we have? How would you describe that 50-50 balance?
It's like being humble, knowing that you are just a human, but at the same time remembering who the fuck you are. Like, you are the creator. Know who you are, but also remember there are limits. Like, you have bones that can break. You have tendons that can, you know, be torn. Be mindful.
Yes.
Your eyes can only take so much of technology. Put the phone down, go play outside.
You know, the yin-yang symbol makes me think of a wave. Mm-hmm. You know how if you, like, let's say you take that symbol and turn it on its side, it kind of looks like almost like a sine wave
mm-hmm.
pattern. And so that makes me think of like a different kind of balance where it's like the yin yang isn't black, white line straight through the middle.
No, it changes.
50-50, right?
Yeah.
It's like this wave shape. And so it makes me think that we could go through phases
right.
of a little bit more up and out, a little bit more down and in, a little bit more grounded and stable, a little bit more chaotic and flow.
Yeah, there's a time and place, right?
Yeah. And there's, you know, principles in Hermeticism, like the principle of rhythm
mm-hmm.
and the principle of polarity, things like that. But I'm just thinking of, yeah, how we could move through the waves, but it balances out in the long run.
Correct. Is if, you know, like I always tell my participants, like, if you remember that everything is changing, like everything changes all the time, there is so much comfort in that. Like, no matter how uncomfortable the situation is, it will change. So having that idea at the back of your mind brings a lot of comfort and relaxation and like ease with it
mm-hmm.
versus stressing, like, oh my God, I'm in so much distress at the moment. Like, it changes. Hang in there. Breathe. Like, take a deep breath. Go barefoot outside. Like, you know, ground yourself for a moment.
It's good advice.
Yeah. They remember it, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
When is the most balanced that you've ever felt?
By the water.
Mm.
So funny. Yeah. I didn't realize how nurturing water is to me. Any water, lakes, rivers, oceans. It's incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Mountain, like the, after I moved to California, it was a game changer. Florida was too flat.
Mm.
Even though it had ocean, but no, California was mountains and ocean right there. The combination of those two was just like, that's it, that's home. That,
mm-hmm.
that felt amazing. And then I went to Hawaii and that's even like better.
Mm.
Yeah, never thought I would, you know, I would say like I love Hawaii and that's the plan.
What is it about being near water that helps you feel balanced?
Maybe because I was in such a masculine role for so long, it reminds you to relax. Because at the end of the day, water, like in the womb, we are in the water. It relaxes us.
Mm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
It floats. And it's super powerful too. Like it can destroy a lot of things. Look at the Florida with hurricanes, tsunamis. Mm-hmm. It can bring a lot of damage. So it's powerful. It's strong, yet it works.
Mm.
It works for me. Tames my fire.
Well, that makes sense then, right? Because there's a natural balance
right.
between fire and water.
Right.
What do you think about balance in relationships?
Oh, that's the wrong person. You asking the wrong person about that. I'm single for a reason.
So?
Wouldn't it be nice to have balanced relationships where people just accept people for who they are instead of like trying to pull their projections and expectations and demands and then throwing a tantrum that's not how I had it in my mind kind of situation, you know? Even though you thought you were clear at the beginning, some people misunderstood the sentences and they missed the memo and you're like, oh, why are we doing this?
I sense that I scratched a delicate topic here.
Yeah, I told you asked the wrong person about it.
Well, I maybe I asked the right person about it.
Maybe.
Your answer is interesting because at first you said, wouldn't it be nice to have balance in relationships? And my initial reaction to that was to say, I don't know, would we necessarily like to have balanced relationships? I've thought a lot about this
mm-hmm.
topic myself and just what does that even mean?
Right. What does that mean to you?
And, but then you kind of went on to say something that feels to me a little bit different about more like our expectations of each other that
right.
we have in relationships
right.
or how we judge each other.
Right.
In relationships, which I don't know if that necessarily is about balance or is the same thing as having balance or not, but I don't know. What would I guess, do you notice that you have any balanced relationships or that ones that feel balanced to you?
Yes.
Okay.
And that's probably the best part, that after all these years, I'm back to being balanced with my, you know, friends, my parents, people around me. Because like the triggering point was like, I was just not a happy camper and I was not getting along with people. And I'm like, something is not right here. Mm-hmm. I am off and I cannot figure out what it is. So let me figure this out. Y'all hold. Please hold. I gotta go do some deep diving here to figure out what's going on. And then, yeah, it was incredible process to go in that direction to see what is really going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been thinking about it a lot recently, and just, you know, there's a lot of different types of balance that we can have with other people. But in particular, I think, I think the one that's most, that people think about and maybe talk about most often as I see it is just energetic balance, like who's giving versus receiving.
Right.
But I think there's other types of balance too. And I think there's other ways in which sometimes it feels better in certain ways if it's not perfectly balanced. Do you know what I mean? Where it's like variety is the spice of life. Like you and me are not the same.
Right.
But there's a kind of balance in our differences.
Right.
And sometimes maybe...
Yeah, otherwise it would be boring, right? If we were identical. Yeah.
Yeah. So I just think about that sometimes. So I just thought I'd see what your thoughts were about it and how that's manifested for you.
Well, it's always interesting how the most freedom-loving person attracts the most controlling one. At least that's how it's been in my experience before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm like, where are my freedom-loving people at?
Mm-hmm.
Where are my people?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I guess I had to learn the lessons, you know, and use my discernment a little better and understanding of myself a little more and communicating it more clearly. But again, you might communicate it all you want and they think they can have it and they can do it. But at the end of the day, they just realize they can't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like topic of polyamory, right?
Mm.
You, a lot of people think they can do it, but once they try it, they can't.
Yeah, right.
the traumas are coming out, the jealousy kicks in, the possession. I mean, you name it.
Yeah.
All of that.
Yeah, it's almost like we have something biological.
Right. Mine.
Yeah, it's funny. But in your case, so it sounds like at least there's one sense in which it would feel more balanced to you for two people to be to share the same value in a certain way. In other words, it feels balanced if your love of freedom balances out my love of freedom.
Correct.
Like that's the same. But then in another case, there could be a yin yang or a puzzle piece kind of phenomenon where, let's just say, my desire to feel safe and protected matches your desire to be a provider and a protector.
Right.
We're not the same, and yet there's a different kind of balance
that
works for us in that case.
Exactly.
It's interesting.
Yeah. Just like for some people, they need to see each other every day. For others, it's three times a week.
Mm-hmm.
I'll see you on the weekend. Don't bother me for the rest of the days. I need my me time.
Yeah. What other perspectives on balance can we think of that are interesting to flesh this out?
I think we need to remind people of balancing use of technology and not being so involved, you know.
I love that.
And exposed to it. Because a lot of people do not fully comprehend how much stimulation is taking place with the exposure and how incredibly sneaky social medias are and algorithms.
Yeah.
So being mindful of that you're ingesting that vibration, that energy, and then if you feel off or you're having an anxiety or you don't know what's going on with you, but you feel off, chances are you picked up something on the social media and you didn't even know it. And now you gotta get rid of it.
That is so true in my experience. And I've just been going through my own personal A/B test in a not necessarily planful way, but I cannot deny the direct and immediate connection for me between looking at a certain kind of news or reading certain kind of pages and channels and a very striking emotional experience that's extremely unpleasant that I've been having recently. And it's like, it's so direct and so immediate. And it's like, when I turn that stuff off, all of a sudden I feel great about life.
Right.
And if I turn it on, I really don't. And yeah, you're so right about that. It's like eating, you know, it's like the analogy to your mind of eating the worst kind of things that you could imagine to put in your body, like not just bad food, but actual poison. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, your mind literally records every little detail, even if it was a split of a second.
Mm-hmm.
If anyone done Iboga, you understand what I'm talking about.
Mm.
You see it all.
Tell me more about that.
You can, so not to spoil the Iboga experience for anyone, but you're getting a flashes and it's like slides going from the back of your mind, sliding in front of your face, black and white slides from your life experiences and other experiences, I don't know, this lifetime or other lifetimes. And you can slow it down and you can zoom in to a tiniest little piece of furniture at your grandma's house when you were a baby and you visited when you were like 6 months old. You can take a look at her dress, at the psychedelic prints of whatever art that was on the walls or not. It's wild.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you're saying it's all in there.
Yes.
Every single frame of the movie of your life in ultra beyond 8K high definition, it's all in there and accessible.
Imagine you're riding a subway and there are people next to you watching something nasty on their phones and you see it was the corner of your eye. You see it, you're exposed to it, you remember it, your mind captures that.
Wild.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Iboga experience in particular is just fascinating to me, listening to other people's stories of it. It's not an experience that I've personally had, but it's really interesting how in certain ways variable and highly personal it seems to be, but then in certain other ways there's specific phases of the journey that are extremely predictable that everyone seems to go through, or the vast majority of people seem to go through the movie slideshow phase, like what you're talking about is like something almost everybody reflects that they experienced.
Yeah. I mean, it's fascinating experience. Yeah. Literally like your own creation, witnessing how the energy comes into a physical form and sperm and egg unites and then starts dividing, and then tissue by tissue your body is being built.
You like watch that?
Yes. I was like, throughout the whole experience, I'm like, who made this? I need to talk to that being, like, architects of the universe, I got questions. Like, how do you come up with this shit? Like, because you know, when you study anatomy and physiology and biochemistry, you understand there are so many processes that are taking place in our body, and something out there thought about all of this, and it all functions like so beautifully orchestrated. Like, let's say your body was born knowing there are no doctors, right? So it knows how to heal itself and survive on whatever substance you feed it. Like, there are people who live on sugar and just shit for years and they don't die. Working on the ambulance, sometimes I would look at the person, I'm like, how are you still alive? Like, you were supposed to be dead, like, I don't know how long ago, and your body is still compensating and keeping you alive. Like, this is wild. Like, your nails are like little tools to, you know, dig up whatever little root to eat, or like scratch something to peel it off. You have no clothing, so here's hair to keep you warm. Like, it's just fascinating. And I was like, who made this? Like, who came up with this most brilliant
avatar out there. And I'm like, this is just mind-blowing. The processes that are taking place and then us remembering all these little details that we're ever exposed to. Like,
yeah. Yeah, the older I get, the more experience I have of obviously, you know, as everyone who's been on this path like you and I have can relate to and attest to, the psychedelics help a lot with just coming to these conclusions. But it's just really, really impossible for me, more and more so over time, to get in touch with the old like materialist perspective, or, you know, pure randomness, or the random universe theory, let's just call it, of right. Like, you know,
just big, happened.
Big bang, and then, you know, some natural laws and just random probabilities theory of like all of this stuff that we experience. It just can't, it just doesn't make sense. It can't be that. It's way too weird.
Do you think aliens balancing us out?
What do you mean?
Extraterrestrials?
I love that question, but what do you mean?
Something out there is like, you know, because...
What do you mean balancing us out?
I mean, we're savages, you know? Humanity is just so self-destructive. Like, you would think that in 2024, we would have, again, going back to the dream work with you, cleaner air, clean water, clean food. Yet people wear plastics, aka polyester nylons and all kinds of other stuff, chemicals, toxins. What is going on?
On the other hand, to balance out your point.
Right.
On the other hand, look at this magic, this magical stuff that we
We're getting blind from it.
True.
Like TVs and screens are like literally damaging our eyeballs. Go look at the sunset.
That's
how beautiful
fair.
That is.
That's fair. No, I agree with you. I mean, it seems like, I mean, I think you and I are approximately the same age. And it really seemed to me when I was growing up and like, you know, even maybe into my 20s, that we were really on the cusp of, you know, just really kind of having a utopia. Like, we could do it. We have the knowledge, we have the technology, certainly. We, you know, I don't know what it is that's actually preventing us from just having peaceful, prosperous, beautiful, flourishing lives if we chose to. It seems like we could. And it really is a little depressing the way that seems like things have gone a little bit backwards in recent decades. Seems like we're going back into a period of war and self-destructiveness and maybe even a little bit of a depression, which is really sad. But then again, you know, I also just keep coming back to the idea of cycles, and I keep coming back to the idea of the wave. You know, wave goes up, wave goes down, and over time it all balances out. And it seems like we're generally heading in the right direction.
I would hope so.
In terms of our consciousness.
Right.
Seems like it.
But sometimes it definitely feels like we're making two tiny little steps forward and three giant leaps backwards.
It feels unnecessary.
Right.
That's the part that's annoying about it.
Yes. Like I'm having a really difficult time accepting that.
Yeah. I hear you. I don't know that there are or need to be aliens or other beings, sentient creatures, to quote unquote balance us. But I think there probably are. I mean, it seems to me that there are likely, very likely to be other life forms that are, let's say, further down the path than us.
Oh, they're just like in the lab watching us, like Petri dish named planet Earth.
Mm-hmm. Who knows? Maybe we're like an adolescent, you know, global consciousness that's still just kind of getting our learner's permit and not yet ready to drive the car out into the rest of the community. I don't know.
Yeah, that's a good observation. Like, where are we in that regard globally? Where is Gaia's conscious?
Don't know. But hopefully, if anything, we those of us that believe in this kind of transcendence of the old patterns, just like what we're talking about at a personal level, it's kind of interesting to expand that frame of reference out to a community, a society, a civilization, a species. But it's all kind of fractal, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Like what, everything we were talking about just in the internal, the personal level of reactive patterns and getting triggered and going into the flooded state. And then I've got 90 seconds to settle my nervous system or go into a process or decide what it is that I want to do with this. Why would it be any different for the species that we get triggered sometimes and have a reaction? And then we collectively have to get our shit together.
Yeah. Some people do not want to even look there, whether you like it or not. Remember how David Savage said it? He's like, we all collectively are being moved forward, whether you feel that you're moving or not. There is a movement. And someone actually showed like a computer generated image of how our solar system is like spiraling, moving forward, not just sitting in one space and like spot and like rotating, but actually it's a spiral going forward.
Of course.
Yeah.
Does seem like some of us are pulling
the blanket, right? Like, listen, every time when I purge for somebody else, I'm like, why do I have to do this shit for them? Like, why me?
Yeah.
Why do I have to help this person? But I'm like, here I am, you know, signed up for this.
But on the other hand, I think everybody has a unique role, a unique part in this whole big drama.
Mm-hmm.
Of the unfolding of the universe, and everybody is expressing their own unique individuation and contributing to the evolution of consciousness in their own way that is certainly far beyond my ability to understand it and probably even appreciate it. And I think a good dose of humility, you used that word earlier in the conversation, is always helpful to just coming to a sense of peace with whatever's happening.
Doing my best, right?
Is there anything else that you want to say about balance?
I feel complete.
Well, thank you very much for this conversation. This was really fun and interesting and enlightening for me.
It was good coming.
I hope you enjoyed it too.
Yeah. I'm glad we finally did this.
Yeah,
it's
me too.
It's been a while.
Well, thank you so much for coming to visit.
Thank you for having me here.
Thanks for joining me for this sacred conversation. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. And don't forget that the conversation can always continue. We can build on a topic that we've already talked about, and we can also start new topics and see how they all weave together. And that's just the exciting thing about this whole journey of exploration, is we don't know where it's going to go, but I'm really excited to find out with you. Please don't be shy to reach out and schedule your sacred conversation on whatever topic is interesting to you. Thanks a lot, and I look forward to talking with you soon.